Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better act somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving them a phone, dress like a million bucks, buttons, things in its cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
Everybody, you are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Man, oh man, oh man. I thank God for it. I thank God for all he's done for me, for all the little things that I oftentimes fail to thank him for, that I take for granted for. Oh, man, breathing. You know, laughing, you know, the fact that I can enjoy myself. Man, I thank God for all of that. All of those small things that I forget to think that are so huge. I thank God for that. Yeah, it ain't just the radio show, it's that. But the radio show is the trigger for me. It kind of just kicks it all in for me. You know, I was talking the other day to a buddy of mine. We had gotten to this conversation about God, and in the conversation we had narrowed it down, and we were talking about changing the way we are as people. You know that everybody has to change. You know, nothing stays the same. Everybody changes. And a lot of these changes can be for the good, and a lot of them are just, they just come with time. You know, sometimes it's aging that changes us. But no matter how old you get, you still have the ability to improve as a person. You may not have the foot speed you used to have. You may not be as agile as you used to be. Your energy level may not be what it used to be. Your desire to do some of the things that you used to do may be gone. The thing that doesn't have to change and will not change is you. You have the ability to continue to grow as a person. Even when Father Time and nature has taken its course, and you're done with the part of life where you're getting taller or you're starting to get stronger. You know, I'm not saying you can't strength train and all of that, because you can, but I'm just saying that the anatomy of the human body changes to the point where some things don't, function the way they used to. You know, you're not as strong as you used to be. We were talking about everybody can change. And everybody has the right to reinvent themselves as they get older. And I equated it to jumping out of an airplane. You know, there are some people, man, who get to a certain point in their life and they jump from the airplane is now almost a stunt of some kind. It's almost like their life didn't got out of control. You ever seen somebody jump out of an airplane and the parachute don't open and their life start and it seems like they start spinning and tumbling and they can't get it together? And I've seen some mid-air rescues before, but then there are times when when it hasn't worked. You know, you jump out that airplane and at first it's fun. I've never skydived before, but I would imagine when you first jump out of an airplane that people describe it as a sense of being free. And it's exhilarating when you first jump out the plane. But if you pull that cord and nothing happens, I've never happened to me, but I can only imagine the panic that's got to set in, because no matter how fun it was a moment ago, the flying over to one another, the holding hands in the air, the breeze, the descent, the feeling of all of a sudden, if you reach for that cord and it's not there, you're suddenly spinning out of control. And that's what happens in a lot of people's lives. When you first start your life, you jump out the plane, you free, you young, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But then you get to a certain point in your life when you go, okay, I'm going to pull the cord now. And pulling the cord is an important thing, because here's the analogy my friend gave me. He said, man, use your mind like a parachute. It works better when it's open. Well, see, what happens with a lot of people is they in life they jump out the plane, and they having this free fall, and it's fun for now, but they get to a certain point in their life where they got themselves in a situation, or they've had a little bit too much fun, a little bit too long, or you know they wasn't open to nothing, and they just did what they wanted to do, or they started getting involved with drugs or drinking or started running with the wrong people. See, you jump out the plane, at first you free fall and it's fun. But then after a minute, man, something happens and they realize, whoa, and they reach for their cord and the cord don't work. Well, now you're in a panic-stricken situation. And my suggestion and what I've learned from the analogy that my friend shared with me is that we all, the sooner we can open our mind to God, the sooner we can develop that relationship with Him. It's like pulling the cord and opening a parachute. If you open up your mind to God, God is like a parachute. You know, God can slow your descent. God can turn this out of control free fall into a nice ride for you. See, that's what happened to me. I was spinning out of control. I had gotten myself into a point, man, well, I wasn't doing real good. Oh, y'all would look at me and think, man, Stevie, man, I wasn't doing real good. I had spun out of control. I was in a free fall, and I reached for the cord, but I was so far away, the cord didn't open. Then I went to Him, and I pulled the cord. When I went to God, I pulled the cord and it opened, and He slowed my descent. And this is what I just believe. I don't believe now that I age as fast as I was aging, because I got that parachute open now. You know, I take better care of myself eating. I work out more now. You know, I'm not out of control. I have a direction now. That wind then got up under that parachute a little bit, you know, and now I'm going, you know, I'm still getting older, you know, so but the descent is so slow now, I'm able to enjoy the ride. I'm guiding my parachute over. Sometimes we go over to a vacation spot over here. We float back over to a, but you know, I'm still getting old. I'm still going down. But the descent, because I've opened my mind to God, the parachute has slowed my descent. And now I'm rocking back and forth, but I ain't spinning out of control no more. You know, I'm able to enjoy the view now. You know, when you jump out that plane and you pull that cord and it don't work, you ain't looking at the view no more. You thinking of only one thing. How can I slow this down? Well, now I'm able to enjoy the view. I'm able to see all the beautiful things on the horizon that God has for me. I'm able to see all the beautiful things around me that he's provided for me over these years because I've slowed my descent. I use my mind like a parachute. It works better when it's open. Open your mind to God and so you can see the view, so you can slow the descent, so you can stop the out of control free fall that you've been on, that you can get your life together and see everything out on the horizon that God has for you. You know, it turned out to be a very true statement. Your mind, if you use it like a parachute, it works better when it's open, y'all.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Somebody keep playing.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome. It had already started.
Oh, yeah.
It started. Before we got on there, I'll tell you what we laughing at in just a second. Good morning, Shirley.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Call him for real.
What's happening? Keeping it 100 up in here.
Junior.
Good morning.
Tommy, put it together.
Nephew Tommy.
He needs some water.
All right, let me tell y'all what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
We was talking before the show got started.
Yeah.
We were talking about should black people celebrate the 4th of July? And I remember on our street, a lot of people on the 4th of July would have their flags out on the little thing in front of their house. Yeah. My daddy ain't had no flag. So Herman Wilson, daddy, came down to the house and asked my father, Mr. Harvey, a lot of us have flags up. Why you don't got no flag? My daddy said, why would I buy a flag when I could buy two more cases of wheels? So
Tommy's down.
My father didn't see the purpose of no flag. We clearly, that's the cost of two cases of wheels.
Oh, man.
Do the math.
Oh, my God.
That's why we ain't got no flag.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And we're not going to have one next year either.
Don't come by here looking up for no flag. Yeah,
ribs are going up. Wow.
I don't see.
So that's what we was laughing.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man.
Sometimes you really have to laugh like that, though, to keep from crying and to keep from being so angry at what's going on in the world, you know?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
No, really, man. No. And it's so crazy and sad that we as black people in 2018 constantly have to deal with what's happening to people of color. Mm-hmm. And the outrage is not the same from other people.
No.
And it's never quite going to be the same outrage, and I understand why. Because most people can't imagine that this is even happening.
Right.
And most people have no idea what it feels like. You can't imagine what it would feel like if it were happening to you.
Or even to be black. They have no idea.
To be black is not a thinkable thought.
They have no idea.
No, and I'm not asking anybody to do that.
Sign up for this.
That's not a thinkable thought. You can't even, it too much come with it.
Yes, Lord.
The prep class for that.
Starts at 5.
Yeah, would be the rest of your life.
Everyone would flunk out because they can't imagine that it really is like it is.
Well, you die before you complete the course.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
What you got, Shirley?
Something funny, inviting a date back to your home. We'll talk about that at 32 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it is time for something funny.
Of course. That's what we should do. Go ahead, though.
It's time for something funny. Inviting a date, Steve, back to your home is certainly a big step, you know, in the relationship when you've moved it on to that level. And as you can imagine, there are definitely things that you can do to make sure that visit leaves a lasting impression. And I'm talking about in a good way, okay? For example, for men to go to a woman's home, definite turn-ons include a nice-smelling home. Everyone likes, you know, when you walk in, the house smells good. You know, books on display, things like that. While for women, if you visit a, if we visit a man's house, we, again, like a nice-smelling home. Also, a man having, like, family photos on display and even a doormat before you even get inside the house. So Steve, Tommy, and Junior, I have to ask you, what things turn you on and turn you off when you visit your date's home for the first time? Think back, guys.
Ooh, that hair around that sink.
You're in the bathroom already?
Yeah, when I go to the bathroom, I see all that hair on that sink. That gets on my nerves. But you owe us about leaving the toilet seat down. Get this hair up from around the sink.
That's a turn off, Junior.
Woo. Come on, Tommy, what you got?
That pregnancy test that's in the trash can. That right there, that
kind of
bothered me. You know what I'm saying?
What are you in there for?
I goes in trash, medicine cabinets. I gets in all that. I want to know what's wrong with you.
All right. Come on, Steve.
back in the day. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, I like a woman's house that's clean.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's it. That is number one for me.
And your house be clean.
Yes. Yes.
If your house nasty and I'm over here for the first time and we're looking at first impressions, my impression immediately is you nasty.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be. Yeah. I mean, if you ain't got enough sense to put your best foot forward on the first date.
First date, yeah.
So I like a woman's house who's first of all clean.
Yep. That's it.
Now, fellas, when she come over your house, she has the right to expect the same thing.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That your house is clean.
Absolutely.
Febreze. Get a can. Go through the Febreze hide garbage smells.
Yeah.
And, you know, men have a tendency. Men's house a lot of times be a little stale. Because men don't know.
Mm-hmm. They don't. You're right about that.
Here's a suggestion I have for men. If you're going to have a woman over your house, hide your medicine.
Your medicine?
Yeah, just put it up.
Don't put it.
You can't explain medicine all the time.
What did you own?
Yeah, if you got any medicine, hide it. I don't care if it's Celebrex. Most people don't know what that is. Excuse me, sound real close to, you know, like VD.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything start with Cella.
Yeah, you got to sell it. You got to put that up.
Claps.
Can we just say, just have a clean, good-smelling house? Can we just say that?
Now, you need to get the medicine to you. Because you can't explain this to people that's out of your house. Because most medicine you can't pronounce anyway.
No.
So what is this Anatavia in your cabinet?
That sounds real sick.
I don't know no damn Anastasia. I said Anatavia. Oh, that's yogurt. What?
Activia.
It's in your medicine cabinet. You don't even know what it is because you can't pronounce your own medicine.
This is crazy.
What is you taking testosterone for? That ain't none of your
business. She just coming out with a whole bunch of real bottles.
What is you taking testosterone for?
And your breast is hanging, though. Yeah.
She come out there, you done bought some Chinese remedy. She come out, what is black cat? Excuse me.
Steve, didn't you say, though, that this girl you were dating was so gorgeous and you went over her house and she had roaches or something? Didn't you tell us a story about that?
Yeah, I've told that story, but I did another one time. I met this girl from Louisiana in college that was gorgeous. I didn't know how to talk to her. My brother helped me.
Oh, your older
Finally,
brother.
We went out. My brother sent me a little bit of money. I had a little money. It was a Creole restaurant, and I let her order. Lord have mercy, man. This heifer ordered so much spicy food. I'm just eating, head sweating. I'm digging under my arms. I'm in there, man, perspiring so hard. So I'm dropping her off at her mama house.
Okay.
Now, my stomach was cutting up.
Uh-oh.
Now, my mama always told me,
get home.
When you got to go to the bathroom, just go on home.
Yes. Lord.
Don't care this in nobody's house. But the girl said, my mama and them not home. Why don't you come on in for a little while? How I'm going to say no?
But you got bubble guts.
You got bubble guts, though, no?
You ain't seen
I her. I heard what you said, though. I know why you went in there.
I hear what you
fine
say.
As hell. Come on in. I just said, okay, well, let me just go on in for a little while.
Uh-huh.
We sitting on the couch watching TV. I could hear my stomach.
Oh, that is
just
the worst.
Just doing flips. Uh-huh. So I said, excuse me, can I use the bathroom? She said, it's straight down the hallway, second door on the left. I turned in that bathroom, man, and sat down, and Lord have mercy.
Hook slide. That's a hook slide.
I'm talking about Steve. Lord have mercy, man. I was in there grabbing hold to towel rack. I told the toilet tissue holder off the wall. I have to tell you this story, but I need about 5 minutes.
Oh,
and we ain't got
God.
That time. But just know right now.
We got to hear this story.
I'm bringing out a towel in my hand. And I done pulled the toilet tissue rack off. I'll tell you the rest when we come back.
Oh, my goodness, Steve.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what happened to me.
All right. We gotta do the prank when we come back with the nephew. And we'll be right back with Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Steve will finish part two of his bubble gut story. And Miss Ann.
The only reason I'm doing it is because they asked me not to bump no staples on the show. Obviously, that's what's going on here.
And plus,
this one right here is as good as any damn.
But let you know, it's good to wait sometimes, too, you know, cliffhanger. But plus, Miss Ann is going to be here with our national news. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back. I love this one, Neff.
A wedding with Butchie.
Yeah. I love this one.
A wedding with Butchie.
God. Wedding. It's a wedding, right? Where people getting married?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I said. A wedding with Butchie.
No, that's not what
wedding
you said.
Wedding is something we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's a foreign term. It's when people out in the wheat field chopping it down. It's called wedding.
But here they run it.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Alan.
This is he.
Hey, Alan, how you doing? This is Butchie, man.
Butchie?
Yeah. You was at the cookout the other day with the family. I'm Christian's cousin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You was at the cookout the other day. I wanted to reach out to you. I know the wedding is in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Like two and a half, yeah.
Yeah, you ready for that?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, man, I got a little bit of a problem that, you know, that we kind of wanted to call you about, you know, because the family got together and had a little meeting, like, and what the deal is this here. I know you're excited and want to marry my cousin, and she kind of excited, too, about the whole thing. But, you know, like, the family members, we got together and decided that for right now, we finna call the wedding off for right now.
What you talking about? Calling the wedding off?
Well, see, you know, everybody think you cool and all, and you know, we real, real passionate, man, about, you know, people marrying into our family or whatever. Like, you know, the gathering the other day, you know, that was a potluck thing. Everybody bring something, right?
Hold on. Kristen ain't never told me no like that.
About what?
About something about not getting no married.
Okay, well, see, right here, like I say, this is what the family done decided on.
I don't give a what the family decided on.
Okay, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. See, we're a real close-knit family, and it's like this here. See, first of all, let me get you to understand this here. You talking to Butchie right now, all right? See, here's the deal. You know, we done decided that the wedding ain't finna happen in 2 weeks. Until, like, when we had the potluck barbecue, everybody bring something. Why you ain't bring nothing?
What you talking about? I'm paying for the wedding.
Oh, that's what you finna throw up in our face, that you paying for the wedding?
Hell yeah. What was I supposed to bring?
Hey, man, everybody bring something when we have a potluck. You know, everybody bring something and contribute to the function or the event that's going on. You know, and for you to walk up in there and not have nothing, that let us know what kind of person you gonna be in the family. We can't have that.
Hold on. Oh, who is this again?
This Butchie right here.
I don't know no Butchie. Look, I came to the family gathering picnic. I came there, showed up, was loving on all y'all, telling y'all how great this was going to be. And now you telling me I can't marry Kristen? Is that what you telling me?
Hey, man, the family done already voted. And when the family vote, dog, that's it.
I ain't marrying the family.
You marrying my cousin Kristen. That's what you trying to do. And you ain't finna marry her.
Look, don't be calling up to my job talking no like this. I'm already on hot from the day with some bull. My supervisor done pulled. Do not come calling me with no bull.
Hey, man, let me tell you this here. Until we can decide that you good for Kristen, until we can decide that, you know, you can handle being married to her and you come correct as a family member, and if you going to come to potlucks, then you bring a pot. You ain't bring nothing.
I ain't got to bring nothing. I'm paying for this wedding. I don't give a what y'all say. All that money I done dropped for this? I bought 2 bottles of wine to it.
You bought, I ain't seen no wine.
I don't care if you got that wine or not. I saw her mama drinking it.
Okay, well, I ain't getting no wine. I don't remember nobody bringing no wine. See, Butchie normally see everything that go on.
I got class. I don't know what you talking about. Butchie, whatever. I brought some wine. Her mama was drinking it, and I ain't playing that. This wedding going down. I done spent over $23,000 on this.
Hey, man, I done already told you that the family done voted on that the wedding name.
I don't give a what the family voted on. I done paid for this. I ain't heard nothing from Kristen about this.
Kristen might not know what we done voted on. We make decisions sometimes for everybody. You understand?
That don't include me.
We'll let Kristen know that we finna stop the wedding. I'm just calling to let you know before I even tell her what's up.
You trying to tell me Kristen don't even know?
Nah, we ain't told her that we don't agree with you yet and that we gonna stop the wedding. We ain't told her that.
Man, get the out of here. I done paid all this money for this, man. Y'all ain't stopping.
Hey, man, I done already told you what we doing, all right? I'm not finna continue to go back and forth with you.
You better get off my phone raising your voice at me. I don't know who the hell you talking.
I tell you what, let me say this to you. I don't care if I got to bust up in that church and stop this wedding, because you done went against what we done said, whatever I got to do.
I don't know who you with. I wish your would try to stop this wedding. Look, we can handle this right now. I can get off of work. I'm already going through some bull, and I'm already on fire. I will come there and bust your right now.
I don't know. You know what? See, when she was going with Nigel, see, Nigel ain't act like this.
Hey, oh, what the? I don't know you didn't bring that up. Me and that already had work. Don't even bring that name up in me.
Hey, man, I'm just keeping it real with you. Nigel ain't act like this here.
That we done have words, and if that want to come and bust up in there too, he get dealt with just like that too.
Hey, man, all I'm just trying to say is the whole family, 100%.
All that, I don't want to hear nothing about this no more. Tell me where to be, and we can deal with this right now.
I'm just letting you know the family done voted. The family done already agreed on it. Now, what we'll do, we'll push the wedding back and then give us time to reevaluate you.
Man, reevaluate me? I don't need no evaluation from y'all. Me and Krista get married, I done put some money on this.
All I know is the wedding ain't happening.
That the wedding is happening. Not after I done paid for all this. You want some bull? You, the family, we going to get married in 2.5 weeks. And y'all, if y'all don't come, and if y'all come up in that, y'all gonna get dealt with straight up.
Hey man, I'm trying to tell you, man. Right now, the family don't want you in the family right now.
I don't give a about y'all. I ain't in love with y'all. I'm marrying Kristen, and I can give a if I see y'all ever again.
Oh, now I'm gonna tell you this here. The family voted on one more thing. You need to go on and know that while we at it.
This ain't no damn democracy. We getting married. That is between her and I. And if y'all don't want to be there, jump off in the ditch.
It's one more thing we done voted on.
What the else you done voted on?
We voted on this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Kristen's entire family got me to prank phone call you.
Y'all some I'm still when they come to the wedding. You, Tommy. I don't put all that money out like that. I was like, no, sir.
I got one more thing I got to ask you, dog. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. Tommy, I'm being real with you, man. Somebody gonna f*** you up.
Funny.
Man, let me tell you.
Butchie.
Butchie ain't playing.
Blank your whole family. Come on, Butchie.
Butchie ain't playing.
I got a cousin named Butchie, too. That was
oh
funny.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
All right, it's jumping off. It's jumping off tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lexington, Kentucky, the nephew. Matter of fact, I'm coming to town tonight, Lexington. I land tonight. I learned that. I always get there the day before. Comedy All Broadway. First show tomorrow night, Thursday night, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. Tickets on sale right now, and they almost go.
No, they're not. Where are my tickets? Where are mine?
All right, nephew.
Well, each day?
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news, and Steve will finish part 2 of his bubble gut story.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you started telling us about this young woman you were dating.
Well, let me just tell you, I met this girl in college.
Uh-huh.
Lord, she was fine. Mm-hmm. Creole girl. My brother told me how to get her, and he gave me some money to take her out. So I told her to pick a restaurant. She picked a Creole restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 17. I ain't had no Creole food, so I'm in.
Uh-huh.
I go in there. She done ordered all this spicy stuff, etouffee, all this, but spicy though.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm eating stuff, man, ain't never been in my system before. So I'm taking her home and my stomach is turning. So we get at the front of her house. I'm gonna walk her to the door. She said, come on in for a little while. My mama and them gone.
Oh.
Now, my mama had told me, when your stomach is tore up, try to go home.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't put that in nobody else's house.
Great advice. Good advice. Yes.
But she was so fine, I just said, well, man, let me go on in here for a little while. Because what kind of man would I be? Fine chick invite you in and mom and dad ain't there. Let me at least go on in here. Something.
But your stomach. I mean, really?
Shirley, this a girl. Every man would have went in there.
Everyone.
So I'm sitting there on the couch. We watching TV. My stomach is turning. I can hear it. So I said, can I go to the bathroom?
Oh,
she
Lord.
Said, second door on the left. Mm. I go in there, and Lord have mercy.
Sorry if you're eating
the walls of Gibraltar.
The what?
Coming
the
down.
Walls of Gibraltar. I done grabbed a tile rack in front of me to just try to hang on. I'm twisting the guest tile in my hand like I'm wringing it out. I done knocked the toilet tissue holder off the wall. Screws out everything.
Wait,
I done kicked over the trash can.
You could hear this, right? Yeah,
I don't hear it.
She
wasn't feeling what I was feeling. But I'm using the bathroom so much that it's alarming to me.
Yeah.
I've actually put more in there than I've ever put in there in my life prior to.
I think we got the picture.
You filled
it
up.
Don't stop my story, Shirley. This is for Junior and Tommy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I'm filling the bowl up. So finally I'm done, to my relief. But I'm sweating, though. I'm talking about I'm in there, man.
Is you out your shirt?
I'm talking about shirt wide open. I had unbuttoned my whole shirt. It's wide open. I had hung my pants up on the back of the door.
Because
I use a bathroom like my daddy. I always hang my pants and drawers up on the back of the door.
Because
I
come out the back.
Yeah. That, you don't ever use the bathroom. But I got my shirt on. But I didn't open it up because it's hot. I got just water coming down out the front. So I stand up and I flush the toilet.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm putting my clothes on, but you know how you're waiting to hear that sound?
Uh-huh.
That.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Hear.
It's gone.
The swoosh.
All I hear is the swirling.
Oh.
And I turn around and it's rising.
It's rising?
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm asking God not to do this to me today.
I know you're praying.
I'm asking God, not today, Lord.
We have to have a part 3.
This ain't the time for this.
Yeah, hold tight, dog.
Hang on, Steve.
Lord, stop this swirl from rising. In your name, right, Father God.
Boy, pray
you ain't ever heard me. Hear me now, oh God.
Steve. We have to go to Miss Ann, so.
I will, but Jesus.
Reel it in.
Stop this swirl, but it's steady coming.
Oh, God.
Part 2, right after this. I'm going to let Miss Ann just go into it today. These are the news facts with Miss Ann.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. First off, a woman who authorities say opened fire at YouTube headquarters in California yesterday is dead of a self-inflicted wound. She's identified as 39-year-old Nassim Agdam. Four other people injured. A 36-year-old man was listed in critical condition yesterday. A 32-year-old woman in serious. A 27-year-old woman listed in fair condition. A fourth person treated and released with a minor ankle injury. The incident took place at YouTube San Bruno headquarters. Authorities say Agdam expressed hatred for YouTube because she believed her online content and ideas were being suppressed. By the way, they say her actions were not part of any terrorist attack. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. The Reverend Jesse Jackson was there.
You've seen a picture with Hosea and Reverend Abernathy and I on the balcony. I remember, strangely enough, that the news report said Dr. King arrived today and gave the room number. It just always kind of stuck in my mind. He's in Lorraine Motel, and he gave the room number. We had no way of knowing how much pain and death consideration he was internalizing, how much more he knew than we knew about the threats. We spent much of the day after around noontime in the room. About six, coming across the courtway, he came out first and turned right for a moment. He said, Jesse, we're on our way to dinner. And Dr. King said, Jesse, you don't have on your tie. He said, Doctor, the prerequisite for eating is an appetite, not a tie. He said, you're crazy. As he raised my hand, he said, Doc, the bullet hit at that instant. And then everything changed before and after Martin Luther King. I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. There had to be that context of his feeling the sense of danger encroaching upon him.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about it.
I'm not afraid of any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory and the coming of the Lord.
The coming of the Lord.
They didn't have to kill him. It's not right. Didn't have to kill him. Won't come back much. It's a lot to take. It's still a lot to take. Just kill him. Just try to live in peace. Just blew him away.
This is Ann Tripp.
Back to Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are, Steve.
All right, I'm back.
Part three of the bubblegut story.
Just catch up. I'm over this fine girl house, stomach tore up, then ate Creole food, 17, should have went home to use the bathroom,
like
sat in her house because she fine. Now I'm in here using the bathroom, and all hell done broke loose in here.
Come on,
I'm
boy.
In here naked, sitting on the toilet with just my shirt on, because I like to sit wide-legged. I like to be open and free, and I need it because I had to brace myself a couple times.
But she never came in there to knock on the door to check.
No, not yet. She coming. That's coming in the store.
Okay.
So I get up. I finally get through. But I've noticed that I put more in the bowl than ever before.
Oh,
so I'm a little bit concerned with their sheer volume.
Uh-huh.
So I flush the toilet as I'm putting my pants back up on me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hear that.
Yeah.
But I don't hear it. And I look back, and it's rising.
Oh, Lord.
It's
Lord,
just going
Lord.
In a slow circle.
Oh,
so
my
I God. Go in, I go to my Heavenly Father.
Right.
Say, Father God.
Pray on
please,
this Lord, boy. Pray on
not
this
Lord. Not now, Lord.
Pray hard, Lord.
Stop this rising tide.
Well.
Somehow, don't let this swirl get up by the top. But he didn't hear me that day.
Yeah.
I guess it was a lesson.
It's a lesson.
So next thing I know, it's at the very top of the toilet.
Oh, my God.
And it's about to flow over.
Oh.
So now I don't know what to do.
Uh-uh.
So I look down, and it's a trash can.
Oh, man.
So I dip the trash can down in it.
Oh.
And I got a trash can full of it.
Yeah.
So I pull the shower curtain back and throw it in the bathtub.
Oh, my God. What?
But here comes some more.
Oh, God.
So I had to take another trash can full of it and throw another trash can in the bathtub. And here comes some damn moat. So now I realize they toilet is broke.
Oh, you they
toilet is broke and backed up. And it started going back down.
Oh, you
so
working
then I say, I got to get some water and put it in here. Yeah. So I started running water in the trash can to pour it down in there and make the water go clean.
Right,
I finally did that.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you, Lord. And I looked over, and the damn bathtub is trash. The shower curtain is trifling.
Disgusting.
I look up. Man. It's on the wall.
Wait, hold on.
It's on the wall.
Part four. Hold on.
This is R. Kelly's in the closet. This is Steve Harvey's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Trapped.
Part four coming up right after this. Trapped in the bathroom. Part four. It's on the walls, the shower curtain, and the bathtub is shot.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, this is part four. What a story.
Part four, Steve trapped in the bathroom, a la R. Kelly in the closet.
Yes.
Part four.
Yeah.
I done bailed out three buckets, trash cans of pure mess, then throwed it in the shower.
Gross.
So when I get all of the water back in the toilet where I got it subside and the water clean, I said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I look over. The damn bathtub is trifling. So now I cut these people's shower on.
Yeah, these people.
And I'm washing down the walls,
The
shower curtain with the shower. The girl comes up to the door because I've been in here now about 45 minutes.
Whoa.
I'm going to clean up a long time. So she said, you okay in there? Everything fine.
This ain't going good.
She said, it sound like something wrong in there. Hey, get away from the door.
She
said, well, okay.
It's
excuse
my house.
Me. So I'm in there. Is this too late? But I noticed they got a candle in the bathroom.
Oh.
I light it.
Oh,
I light the candle, start striking matches and running tap water.
Okay.
That's what my mama always told me. Strike some matches and run some tap water.
Uh-huh.
It'll help you get rid of odor.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm in there. But now I'm washing down shower curtains, walls, the bathtub, getting up stuff off the floor. I'm just in here. Now, you probably saying, Steve, what is you washing it down with?
That's what we're
probably
saying.
Well, wasn't no paper towels in there.
Uh-huh.
But that towel rack that I had grabbed when I first sat down and was twisting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They guest towels.
The pretty ones with the lace and the flowers and the
embroidery on it.
Had
T's on it. The Thompsons.
Yeah.
That's what I'm washing it down with.
Not my good towels.
Now, this towel is brown.
Because
I can't rinse it all out. It
what color was it when it started?
Pink. They was pink.
This is awful.
Now the tiles are running. I done washed all the walls down, everything. I'm in there sweating.
You working.
My ass been on a construction site.
You are working.
So I've been in there total about damn near an hour. So I fasten my clothes. I look at the bathroom. I got everything up. But I got this big nasty ass towel, and I don't know what to do with it. So I take it, put it in the waste paper can that I've been bailing with, and stuck all that under the sink. Okay?
Yeah.
I figure this ain't finna be good, no how.
Yeah.
But at least when they come in here, it's gonna take a moment. Because I know when you go in there, you're gonna have to say, what the hell happened here? Because I couldn't remember how the shower curtain was or none of that. And I'm telling you, I got everything off.
Right.
So I walk down the hallway.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting on the couch with an attitude.
Of course she has an attitude.
Her arms folded.
Yes,
then she
course.
Looked at me and she said, why you been in there so long?
Right.
I had a little accident. Then she said, oh my God, look at you.
What was
wrong? I didn't realize.
But
when I was bailing all that mess into the shower, it was splashing on my pants below my knee.
God,
I ain't had time to look at this because I'm too busy cleaning up their damn house. Now, I just specks.
God.
And splash marks of mess from my knee down. My pants was trifling. I looked at her. She looked at me and she said, "Oh my God, look at you. What have you been doing?"
What did you say?
I looked at her and said, "You ain't got to talk to me like that." And walked out the front door and slammed it.
Never came back.
It ain't been
went in there and got in my car, had to ride home with all my windows down. Because I stink. I smell like a skunk. Sitting in that car.
Oh, God.
And drove home. God. And that girl saw me on the campus next day, and all her girlfriends was looking at me. I act like I had never met her before. And that was my Steve Harvey's.
Wow.
Trapped in the bathroom.
I love
slash
it.
Slash R. Classic. Kelly closet. I'm going to put some music to that.
All right.
How are you now?
All right, Nephew Tommy coming up next with the prank phone call.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, I hope we all have recovered, but coming up at the top of the hour, about what? 4 minutes after, today's Strawberry Letter, but up next, it's the Nephew with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
IRS check.
Huh?
Uh-uh.
Yes. Oh. The IRS check.
It's the time. Two
it's
weeks.
That time.
No. 2 weeks. April 17th.
IRS. My grandmama used to call it IRS. The IRS check. Run it, cat.
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying to reach Regina, please.
This is Regina.
Hi. How you doing? My name is Mark. I'm actually calling you from the income tax office. Did you receive your income tax check yet?
No, I haven't received it. I'm waiting on it now.
Okay, now, there was a check, ma'am, that was sent out for $1,500. That was probably about 2 weeks ago. You never received that check?
No, I haven't received it. I'm waiting on it.
Okay, wow. Okay, what
address did you send it to?
We're looking at, 1501 Avenue.
No, that's not my address. I don't live there. That's my mom's address.
That's where it was actually sent to, ma'am. Was sent, I guess, to your mother's address.
Well, that's not the address that I put down. That's not my mistake.
Right. No, I understand that. I'm not sure what the complication. Now, the problem I'm looking at, ma'am, is that it's showing in our records here that this check has been cashed.
How has the check been cashed? I haven't received the check.
Hang on. Just let me look a little further here. Let's see. Are you familiar with a Broderick?
Yeah, that's my brother, but he's not on. He's that money is not going to him.
Okay.
That check should have my name on it, not no Broderick.
Okay, it was actually cashed by a Broderick 2 days after it was delivered to this 1501 Avenue.
So we need to find out how you can send me that money back and get that money back and send me a check. Because, like I said, I didn't put that address down. That is not, the check should be coming to me.
Right, I understand.
Not
that,
over there.
Dealing, ma'am.
That's not my problem. So okay. You guys need to rectify the problem and give me my money.
Okay, ma'am, evidently there's a problem. Your brother, I guess, has evidently cashed your check.
You know what? This crackhead, people, that's why I moved out of that place. And y'all should be sending me money to my house, not over there.
Okay, now, the reason, ma'am, that I was actually calling initially was to let you know we sent you a check for $1,580.
Okay.
And the problem is that it was a miscalculation on this whole thing, and we actually need you to send $450 back to us because we sent you too much.
Oh, you got me up. I'm sorry, but no. I worked my off all through the year. I went and made and did file my taxes, and I did everything correctly. Now, if y'all send me too much money, that's your problem. I ain't sending no money back to y'all.
Man, we're going to have to get $450.
You're going to have to find it somewhere else because you're not going to get it from me.
Ma'am, I don't want to have to go back and
forth. Let me tell you what you need to do. Okay, you need to send me another check. That's what you need to do, because I never received it.
We're not going to be able to send another check, ma'am, until we get, first of all, the
$450
back.
You don't understand. You're not listening. You're not understanding. Where is your supervisor? I need to speak to a supervisor, because obviously you're not doing your job right.
I'm actually the supervisor, ma'am. And what I'm trying to explain to you is that...
Do I need to come and tell you how to do your job?
Excuse me?
His name was not on the check. You shouldn't even sent there in the first place.
Well, ma'am, you know, I don't understand who your brother is, but the Broderick cashed his check. I don't know what's going on with him.
He's a crackhead. I don't give a he shouldn't be cashing my you shouldn't even be sending it over there.
Ma'am, I do apologize for these problems. I do.
Apology is not accepted. What was going to make me happy is you send me a check.
Well, when can we,
to the correct address.
When can we expect a check from you for $450, ma'am?
No, well, I'm sorry, but I haven't even received. How am I going to send you some money and I haven't received my money yet?
Okay, ma'am, if we don't receive the $450 within a week, we're going to have to put a freeze on your account.
How you going to say put a freeze on my account and I haven't received my check and you going to send it over to that crackhead? You know, you need to send me my check. That's what you need to do. I'm trying to freeze my money. I ain't even getting no money. What are you talking about? You need to give me my money. That's what you need to do.
I understand that, ma'am.
Straight.
But if your crackhead brother has cashed your check and ran off with it, we can't do anything about that.
Well, you know what? No. That's what you. I don't care. The mistake that y'all made is that you sent it to the wrong house. And then you want to try and freeze my account? You got me f***ed up, okay? That's what you need to do. You need to send me my money. You're sending to the wrong place. That's not my mistake. That's your mistake.
Listen, ma'am, I don't have time to go back and forth. I got one more thing I need to say to you.
The only thing you need to be telling me is that you're sending my check.
Are you listening to me, ma'am?
Y'all made that mistake.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your cousin, Reggie.
Oh, my God, excuse me. Reggie, I'm going to kick his ass.
You all right, baby?
Where my money at?
Your money probably on the way, baby. But I hope they got the right address. Cause if they
I
make
hope
a mistake,
so, too.
You're going to lose your mind.
Ooh-wee, I'm shaking right now. Oh, boiling.
Hey, Regina, I got one more thing to ask you, baby. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You know, sometimes every now and then check go to the wrong place.
No. Mm-mm.
No, you can't play nobody IRS.
You
check.
Can't play
waiting
for
with
my
the refund.
Refund. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
You can't.
Yeah, but every now and then, you know, it just, these kind of things happen.
Not a good look, nephew.
Uh-uh.
Now, it wouldn't be right to prank somebody to actually work at the IRS, would it?
Well, I wouldn't if I were you.
I've heard they don't have a sense of humor. I have
yeah,
heard
go ahead,
that about
dog. Them. Let me know how it go.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. You stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be having
you
so many audits.
Man,
why
you got Social Security
not?
Number,
yeah,
don't
go
you?
Ahead.
You'll never get a refund again.
Maybe prank one of the auditors.
Oh, you're really going. You're living risky, huh?
Mm. Okay. Oh, they're going to start snatching stuff out of
uh-huh,
Chateau.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe the Chateau.
Garnishing wages
uh-uh.
And everything.
No. My taxes paid. No. I done seen too many people go down.
Mm-mm. Lord.
Tomorrow night, April 5th, baby, the nephew, Lexington, Kentucky. Comedy All Broadway. The nephew is here. That's 5, 6, 7. One Thursday,
mm-hmm.
Two Friday, two Saturday.
Two Friday.
Oh, see, right here. See. Okay, let's just start. It's 5 shows, Carl.
Okay.
You're going to get 4 tickets.
Mm-mm.
Now, you can
that's
spread them out over them 5.
Mm-mm, that's not going to work for me because you say you had 5 shows, so yeah. two times five is 10.
Them people don't need to go together. People need to go individually.
Anybody going to the comedy show by themselves?
One Thursday, one Friday. I give you 5 tickets, one per show.
That's not going to do.
Hey, man,
double that.
Hey, Carla, don't even go see him. Send it to some one person at a time.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
All,
you
Carla,
always took care of me. You always took care of
always
me.
Always took care of you. I gave you whatever you needed.
You sure did. Thank you, Steve.
Because that's the type of person I am. But then, you know, I was working in a much bigger venue.
Yeah, more to work with.
Did he just throw a rock?
Yeah,
he
did.
I got
15,000
yeah.
tickets.
But he
didn't
been
here.
In
I could
the same club.
Team, you know? I'm sitting
yeah,
here
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to sell 175. You really messing with his money, though, Carla, because he's trying to fill up 200 seats. You know, when he got a dough deal. You got a dough deal down there, Tommy?
I got a dough deal everywhere.
Yeah, sure. See, I got a dough deal everywhere. So
the word
know,
is
now,
your.
Big time now, so.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Well, dough deal means he gets a percentage of the door. And if he giving away his seats, it cuts
because you
his
sound like you
money.
Said it
dope. I know.
Dope
the word is your deal. Thank
similar.
You.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll be waiting on my tickets. Thank you. What you got, Shirley?
All right, listen.
He'll give you 10. No, he got it like that. He's selling everything out.
Good.
How he giving you 10 of my tickets?
All right, look, we got to go. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Strawberry Letter. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, before we go to today's crazy Strawberry Letter, Tiger Woods back in the news, and it's not for golf this time. He's going through another bad breakup. This time, ex-girlfriend Christian Smith has been battling over a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, designed to keep her quiet about their relationship. Now, this is all according to TMZ. She wants out of their deal so she can talk about the relationship. Now, a legal war has erupted. The two, they dated back from 2015 to 2017 last year. They are in arbitration right now. And the gossip blog says that the romance ended because Tiger, was unfaithful. Surprise!
Again?
Yeah.
I'm just his girlfriend. Hold up.
Yeah.
He wasn't engaged.
Anyway.
Y'all filing off on the dude now.
Anyway.
And she signed it now. What she want to talk for? All this called
Stormy Daniels. I knew it.
Stormy motivating everybody.
Yeah, now that everybody want out their damn NDA.
Well, yeah, Tiger was unfaithful, that's why. And she says, since he didn't want another PR nightmare, he offered Kristen money to sign this NDA. But didn't Tiger...
Even sound like a relationship then.
It was a relationship. It was 2 years, Junior.
I don't know a woman I'm giving money to date me.
He just don't know how to be a player. Okay. He just bad at this.
Didn't he go through sex rehab?
Yes, he went through, yeah.
They got that? He ain't got no sex problem.
Been down there.
Y'all, that's just that's for the wife.
What you
that's
mean?
For the wife, and he got a sex problem. They tried to do that to Eric Benet. Eric Benet ain't got no damn problem.
Mm-hmm.
Man, y'all need to go ahead on. Every dude got that.
that ain't nothing.
What the hell y'all talking about?
Hell, you think about it? I got it too.
Man, y'all need to cut that out, man. Y'all need to go ahead on with that.
Even you up?
Bro, hell yeah, I got it.
He's a dude, isn't he, Junior?
Every man walking.
Dog, everybody got that. What dude you know don't want no sex? Come on, a lot, all the time, when you don't feel like it. Wait, what?
But he paid her to sign the NDA because he didn't want this exposure in the news and all this.
And she signed it and took the money.
And he got it anyway. So this is crazy. Stop doing that,
he
Tiger.
Got what anyway?
He got the bad publicity anyway.
Well, he might have kept his money.
Yeah, he may as well have not had her sign it.
Shirley.
Yes.
Shirley.
Yes.
The NDAs are in business. Mm-hmm. NDAs don't work in personal.
We see.
See, they can come back and sue your company.
Yeah.
For NDA. I sign NDAs all the time with business. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm doing something with a company and I got to give them some information about me, you can't put this information out. Okay, now you put it out and see what happens. I'm finna own your company. You can't do NDAs with personal people.
Well,
we talking about their feelings.
Someone needs to get to Tiger and tell him. Because Tommy's right. He doesn't know how to date, girlfriend.
Whoa.
What?
Y'all wrong for this with Tiger. Your president has an NDA out.
Yeah.
He got more than one.
Yeah.
So what y'all blaming this on Tiger for? And I'm not finna let Tiger be news. Tiger
it's too
ain't
late
president.
For all of that.
It's too late for that, all.
He's in the news.
Our just president have games got an NDA with a porn star. Y'all tripping. What are we talking about Tiger for?
He's in the news.
Tiger just a boy.
No, he's not. He's a grown man.
He's a grown man now.
All right, let's get to this letter. It is time. Listen, if you need help or advice, especially relationship advice, please do not write in here asking Steve for any coins or anything like that. This is all about relationships, okay? Just email us your letter to steveharveyfm.com, and we could be reading your letter on the air today or any day, just like we're reading this one, all right? Thank you. All right, nephew.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is. Strawberry Letter.
Subject, So angry, I'm seeing red. Dear Stephen Shirley, I begin this letter by saying, I hate my husband of 12 years. I feel as though he has made a fool of me, and I feel stupid. The thought of him makes me sick to my stomach. I want to say, kiss my butt. I'm at the point in which I don't even care to confront him. For what reason? Another stupid lie. Okay, you can tell me that he lies to me because I am the one he doesn't want to hurt. But when he lies, at which point does a man realize that he is hurting me? He's still hurting me. At this moment, it is not do I leave him, but how do I leave? And this is why I am writing you. I know getting even is not the right choice, but it would make me feel better. I would like your opinion. Here is what I came up with so far. Set him up. I know he is meeting a woman in person that he meets online. He doesn't even know one of the women he is talking to is me. Do I talk to him first? Ask him what I am lacking that makes him look elsewhere? Do I just get my ducks in a row and walk? By the way, I would rather put a print of his profile and put it over his side of the bed while he is sleeping. What do you think? I say get some billboards. That's what we were talking about earlier. Anyway.
The latest trend, huh?
No, right? Anyway, if you got an extra $250,000 laying around. But my favorite line in this whole letter is when he says, I love you, I want to say kiss my butt. Wow. That says a lot about your relationship. You're that angry. You're very, very angry and emotional. You want to get him back. You want revenge. You want to feel better, you said. But I got to ask you, really, is it worth all of that? Is he worth this? Do you still love this man? Do you still want a relationship with him? Can he be trusted? Those are the kinds of questions you need to be asking yourself once you calm down. And I get that you're upset right now. I understand this. I kind of think you are still feeling him because you asked the question, do you talk to him first? And do you want to ask him, what are you lacking and all of that? So if there's still some feelings there that you have for this man, go ahead and talk to him, but you got to ask yourself, is he worth all of this first? Steve?
Man, uh-uh. Thank you, Shirley. Nice response, all that yada, yada, yada. Here go the deal.
What?
I ain't got nothing to say to this woman.
Why not?
My notes is all for the man.
Oh.
First of all, when a woman in a letter opens up by, begin this letter by saying, I hate my husband. Man, he has no idea the hell he finna live in. I hate my husband. Then she says, I want to say kiss my butt.
That's my favorite line.
Let me explain something to y'all. Let me say this to you right here, right now.
Say it, Steve.
The word hate and butt cannot go in the same sentence. If a woman hate you, I can assure you, but is not the word she's using.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, come on. Part two, Steve, of your response to today's strawberry letter.
Well.
So angry, I'm seeing red, Steve.
I have nothing to say to this woman because I'm afraid
of her. You're scared, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't want her to turn none of this on me.
Billboards.
This is for the dude that's doing his girl wrong. Listen to me. Hell hath no fury like a woman's going. At the top of the letter when she said, I hate my husband. This is not good for no man. Once a woman utters them words, here come the billboards. Here come the internet lies.
But Steve, she's fed up.
I got all that. Once again, Shirley, I'm not saying anything to this woman.
You're scared.
You're just warning the fellas.
I don't need this in my life. But listen, and I'm serious now. I'm very serious about this. If you think you know who this guy is, please call this brother and let him know. Because, see, let me show something. The strawberry letter is meant to help people, to solve problems. Sometimes we laugh with the strawberry letter.
I'm seeing how you're gonna flip
it. This is the first time we've ever had a strawberry letter. This is not what the strawberry letter is supposed to be about. It's on here.
Where?
It's not.
Where, Steve?
By the way, I would rather put a print of his profile and put it over his side of the bed while he's sleeping.
What do you think? Okay. Yeah, I take it literally. A print of his profile. Not his profile.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't hear it, huh?
She's blowing off some steam, Steve. Come on.
Blowing off steam? In a sheet that you sleeping under on your side of the bed?
It's in the print.
Blow off steam. Take a drink. Go for a walk.
That's not how we do it.
Steve, are you scared? Are you scared right now?
Yes.
His voice is trembling. I hear it.
Yes, this woman here. I don't want her coming after me.
Hey, she's fed up with his lies. She's fed up with his mess.
That's why he, somebody, know this man. Please, for the love of God, tell him.
He's not plotting murder.
I don't know what y'all think it is.
But she set him up, though. She wanted to win.
Yes.
Well, all right. She wanted to win. He talking to his wife. Babe, what you doing? What you got on?
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And don't forget to please join me this coming Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Strawberry Letter Live After Show on Facebook, okay? 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me. All right. So, Carla, I know you saw your girl. Oh, my God. Rob Kardashian's baby mama.
Girl, Black China. Clowning at
girl,
Six Flags.
Can I say something?
Cut
up.
Her butt is too big. Now, I like a night. That's just too much right there.
I mean,
that's a ride itself at the amusement park. What is that?
She went in. I mean, really, she just went in at Six Flags. I mean, according again to TMZ, a young lady just kind of touched, you know, how you touch a baby, baby dream. She kind of touched her and said,
hand.
What a cute baby. Yeah, touched her little hand, she said, with her finger and said, oh, what a cute baby. And also, according to China, someone uttered hood rat, talking about Black China, calling her a hood rat in her direction. Well, that's when Black China snapped, okay?
Lived up to her
name. Yeah, she picked up the stroller that was shaped like a little pink car.
She
started swinging it, using it as a weapon in the direction of a young woman who, you know, just dared to touch her child. So now Rob Kardashian
was the baby in the carriage?
When she went to touch her, yes, she was. The nanny kind of rolled the stroller toward the lady, and the lady was like, "Oh, what a cute little baby," and touched her.
But she was young. The lady was young.
Yeah, very young girl. So again, now Rob Kardashian is taking Black China to family court. To, you know, try to get the child out of harm's way. He doesn't want his child growing up in this kind of environment. Your mom going off, taking her coat off, swinging a baby carriage at Six Flags. Yeah, he's currently...
Well, they already have, like, 50-50
joint custody, but he wants full custody. He just doesn't want his baby in this kind of environment. All right, he's currently paying Black China $20,000 a month.
Yeah, he want the baby all down to strip club.
$20,000?
God,
that's a lot of money.
$20,000.
I'd pay way more than that.
Nice. That baby was in a nice stroller.
These little bitty ass numbers.
What? These little bitty numbers?
I've been in here bleeding before. I don't know what hell y'all how my life went. I'm so glad I'm free now.
I'm free.
Wow.
Yeah, this is. I saw this. This was awful. Come on.
Hey, did I
saw somebody's mother?
Hold on. Yesterday, did I ask the question? Should I go back?
Yeah, you did.
To respond, because I'm supposed to start checking, ain't I?
Well, you just asked us. You said you were thinking about putting it on social media.
After the bathroom bit today, go for it, partner.
Oh, you're saying go for it.
Man.
But it is there. It's on Steve Harvey FM. People are commenting.
Okay, what did they say, Coach Carl, if they said something?
Okay, wait. Wait a minute, Steve.
We through talking about Black China.
No. I know we're definitely done talking about her. But okay, just are you open? You know your nerves get bad. Just be open. That's all we're saying.
To what the public gonna say?
Yeah, just be open.
Yeah. Y'all cool with what they saying? You know, I know how to control that about them.
Okay.
I listened to them, I wouldn't have none of these jobs.
Okay.
You need to sit your ass down somewhere. What is you working all them hours for? How you got time for your family? Oh, I hear all this.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So okay, when we so come quickly. Back, Carla, can you read some of the statements off
sure.
FM? Just go
sure.
down the line, however they are. Just go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I got all it. Right, good, good, good. Just want you to have a good attitude.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do now.
This the same man that said he couldn't be on Dancing with the Stars because of the church.
So they gonna be saying
stuff. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I done went to rehearsal. He said I done went to practice.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we remember Dr. King on the 50th anniversary of his death.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
50 years ago on April 4th, 1968, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on the balcony of his motel room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. You know what, you guys? Race has consistently been an issue in national politics.
You know, we have to talk openly with our children about race, about ethnicity, about religion and bigotry. Have you dealt with that? I mean, I'm sure you have. But,
have I dealt with
yeah, it? Yeah, with your children. I mean, you know, talking to them about it at a young age.
I mean, you know, I had a couple of incidents that has happened, you know, about mm-hmm. race. I try to, my kids grew up very, very different from me. So they've were afforded a different lifestyle than I had. So none of my kids grew up in the hood. My kids have been fortunate enough to live in totally different environments than I grew up in. So I've always encouraged my kids to accept people for who they were, as long as they accept you for who you are. I'm a realist when I talk to my kids about racism. If somebody got a problem with you because of the color of your skin, mm-hmm. I said, you're gonna know it. Amen. And then you have to deal with it accordingly. You know, everybody not going, all people are not good people. There's just some bad people out there. But when you run into them, you have to have an assurance. You have to have a confidence level, a certain amount of self-esteem about yourself. Don't let nobody make you try to feel less than simply because of the color of your skin. That's not going to happen. And I've given them my full permission to address it. I'm probably not the best parent to talk about racism with your kids because I've had to deal with it on some very blatant levels. You know, I've seen it from some really dark angles, man. And so I've just always had my kids in a position where they deal with it if they see it. You know, if they're confronted with it, mm-hmm. deal with it. Mm-hmm. Be courageous about it. Don't put yourself in a life-threatening situation about it, but be courageous about it. But my kids are open to people. You know, they accept people for who they are. They don't have hang-ups when it come to race, you know?
Right, right.
My son's wife is has biracial parents. My son's wife has biracial parents. And, you know, we all eat. We all celebrate holidays. We don't have a problem with that. It's very simple to me. If you cool to me, I'm cool with you. That's it. I don't do good with people who don't. I don't do good with racism. I just don't. I'm not the best person to talk about it. Because if you extend it to me, I hate to say this, but I give it back to you.
On this historic anniversary, Steve, you wanted to play a portion of Dr. King's historic final speech.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Come together, everybody, and serve your communities. Coming up, we got some excerpts from Dr. King's I've Been to the Mountaintop speech.
There was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. It said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960 when students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. The black people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me, now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, "We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane, and to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night." And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. Yeah. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, Steve asked Carla to read off some of the responses to when he put out, should he return to the stage? And here's what some of the people had to say. Go ahead, Carla.
That's right. Steve Harvey FM on the gram, on Instagram. If you didn't get a chance to vote, the question is, should Uncle Steve, hashtag Steve Harvey, return to stand-up comedy and do a one-night special? All right, here's some of the comments, Steve. You ready? We're going to read them, good or bad. Please, please do it. Yes, yes. It would be nice for you to come back to comedy, even if you're not going to do a lot of Trump bashing. We want you to come back. We just, you know, thinking about the image of you at the hotel lobby with Trump. That was a comment.
About to give a damn.
Let
it keep going.
Hell, I ain't finna change. I'm finna talk about that, though.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Here's a comment. Do it, Unc. Yes. Here's another comment. Yes. Here's another one. Yes. This one says, heck yeah, and I'm going to bring my whole family to see you. This one says, please come to Iowa. If you do it, the answer is yes. Netflix special. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. I'm going down the line. Yes. Yes. Hell yes. 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 Yes.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah.
Bunch of them.
That's the reason I want to come back, because of that other one right up at
the
top.
See, all the
even
good ones.
Even with your image of you standing in the lobby with Trump. If you knew why my ass went up there, that's why I wants to come
that's
back.
Why
that's
why he
20
back.
Minutes right
because
there.
Because let me explain something to you,
that's
man.
The hour.
See, what I done done is, let me tell you what I'm really, and I talked this over with my wife. Social media, man, has been having a field day with me for a few years now. Uh-huh. Everything I do, I can't do nothing. Mm. Y'all, hear the big one. The biggest one is, I got divorced in 2005. People really think I was in the process of divorce. I was already divorced. Y'all don't even know what really happened here. I'm gonna straighten all that out.
Okay. All right. Here's some more comments, Steve. I want you to hear this one. This one is from Felicia Treats. I think so, but Uncle Steve has a lot on his plate right now, and it's going well for him and his family. If God leads his heart back, then it's meant to be. I would be there to see him. This other one, and this is a comment from Frank the Barber. You know, he's a loyal listener. I say you don't have to come back. You have put a great mark on comedy with your career. I say train younger comedians to reach the level that you have set, is basically what he was saying. Another listener said, immediately start planning right now. And so, then someone said, I think you should do one more tour. So there you go, Steve. You're a legend. Steve Harvey FM, if you want to comment.
Okay, 99% of it's good. Y'all keep going to Steve Harvey FM. Give me your comments on me coming back. But here's some other stuff, too. See, I want to address a couple of things. I've been quiet.
On stage, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to wait. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm going to wait till I can say it how I want to say it. I'm not going to do it on the radio.
I never thought you'd come back. This is really
Me
interesting.
Neither.
I didn't think so either. Uh-huh. But I have a reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Social media, you know. So I'm just, look, let's just start with the divorce. How they've done me. Without me opening my mouth about it. Mm-hmm. That was one. Oh, let's go to Miss Universe. Oh, y'all toasted your boy right there.
You got
there.
A real show, hold on.
Oh, yeah, then. Oh. And then the Trump visit. Oh, how many coons? Uncle Tom, traitor. You low down. You black, blankety blank to blank. Oh, really? Oh, y'all want to know the truth about that, too? Oh, I got that for you. Oh, the comment about the Asian people that they ran all the wrong way on me with. Oh, okay. Want to know what I said? You want to know what really happened right here? You want to know how to really did? Oh, I got something. Oh, how about the note to the staff in Chicago over a year old. Oh, I'm all on CNN. I woke up one day and what the hell was going on?
So you have something
I saw Gail
to say.
King talking about my ass. That's what I Gail said. King. What the hell?
So you're coming back because you honestly have something to say to
but
talk about.
I don't
about.
Want him
Not
to be angry,
be,
though. I yeah. don't want him to be angry when he come back.
These five right here, this hour and 20 now.
Oh, don't be angry.
Don't be angry. Right
have you been writing all this time, Steve?
Living.
Which is writing.
Yeah.
See, y'all been writing though. I've been silent, just been taking it in the face. Black dudes at the barbershop that's been my dudes for years, man. Can't believe he went up there to see Trump. You know, man, like I'm in there, you know, making policy. Like I'm in there talking about, yeah, repeal Obamacare. Like I'm up in there with the meeting with that conversation. Oh, all this. Mm-hmm. All this. Oh, black people. Oh, I'm going to do a whole section for just black.
Wow.
Ain't going to be talking to nobody else but my people.
Well, I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Oh, you ought to be concerned. Your ass might be in a special.
He's very afraid.
That ought to be the name of the damn special. You ought to be concerned. I might get their ass.
Wow, so social media.
All my friends that turned on
the power of social media.
Social media. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what, man? All the people that turned on me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I ain't going to be angry.
I'm going to be funny as hell.
That's what
I'm talking about. Where that's y'all going to be. I'm talking about Willie Turner.
Man.
I'm talking about some classics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm talking about when I found out how much they paid Michael Clark Duncan in Planet of the Apes.
All right, Steve. Well,
y'all keep the comments coming. It's looking good. SteveHarveyFM.com.
Yeah, it's looking good. All right, Steve, coming up, we have some, we want some information from you. Carla wants some parenting advice.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Been one long time.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
More job openings. I think yesterday we talked about Netflix having job openings for people who just wanted to binge watch TV all day.
So now
there are more job openings. A nudist campground, Tommy, this story looks like it's tailor-made for you, is looking for a lifeguard. The position requires no clothes at all.
Got it.
No clothes at all.
Do that. Come on.
Campground. This is a campground in Rhode Island looking for a lifeguard with excellent communication skills.
I can talk.
They're a nudist campground, and they're not clothing optional, okay? So you have to be naked. The campground has posted an ad for the part-time lifeguard position on Facebook. The position requires a state lifeguard certification, and you must be available to work at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekends and Monday and holidays. There you go,
yes.
Tommy.
Now, this is a blessing for all of us. This is an opportunity for us to fly up the Rhode Island.
Why nobody going up there?
And hang out at the colony just to see it, just to test it out.
Tommy,
I can't have a job?
You, Shirley, read the qualifications again.
Okay,
naked.
Well, they're just looking for a lifeguard with excellent communication skills. And clothing is,
first of
they're
all,
not clothing. You have
lifeguard.
To be naked.
Lifeguard.
Lifeguard.
Clothing up.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Your swimming skills.
Oh, no. I can swim like a fish.
It's questionable when it comes to saving others. Oh, it ain't about how good you can swim. Oh, you swim like a fish, but you too small to save somebody.
What?
No, you got to dive in the water and get people. Here's the other reason. Did you say he had to have what, Shirley?
Excellent communication skills.
Do you know, as a lifeguard, how many words start with W?
Water.
Let's go with water.
Get out the water.
Wait.
We finna have bad weather.
Look at the waves. Come on.
Watch out.
What's wrong?
You can't be.
Watch out.
Oh, you weren't stopping.
I can do it.
We're closed.
Wait for me.
Which way? Look out. Here come a whale.
Whale? In the pool?
You just on the beach. People are dying.
A wave will come through that.
Watch out. Watch out. Here come a whale.
I thought this would be great for Tommy because he loves being naked.
Wading in the water. Boy, people just out there getting
shut up, man.
Took out. Wait on your stupid ass. Oh, it's too many words. Start with W when you a lifeguard. Sir, get out the water. It's about to be windy.
Try that.
Everybody stuffed and blowed over.
Just try that line, Tommy, right there. Yeah, because
what's the line?
Get out the water. It's about to be windy. It's a wave coming or something.
Get out the water. It's about to be windy, and you in waist deep water. Come on, Tommy.
Get out the water. It's about to be windy. Windy.
Oh, they're drowned.
Yeah. Waist deep.
Where's my whistle?
They drowned.
Yeah.
It's too late.
All
right. More of this foolishness when we come back. Right after this.
Whatever.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Bill Cosby back in the news, guys. His first trial, you know, ended in a mistrial when jurors failed to reach a verdict on whether he had drugged and molested a woman 14 years ago. Remember that? Well, now selecting 12 people to sit and hear the Bill Cosby retrial of the sex assault case is proving a bit hard. More than half of the 120 potential jurors for Bill Cosby's sexual assault retrial were dismissed from court. They were dismissed because they were talking about, they were voicing and forming strong opinions about Cosby's guilt or innocence and being swayed by the hashtag MeToo movement, you know. So when the selection is complete, the jury will be sequestered at a hotel and warned that the retrial could last about a month. So, Cosby has pleaded not guilty, of course, to charges that he drugged and sexually molested. Her name is Andrea Constand, a Temple University women's basketball staffer at his suburban Philadelphia home. This happened back in 2004. She says she's charging. He says the encounter was consensual. That's what Bill Cosby is saying. The trial is scheduled to begin in just a few days on April 9th. So... wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
So they're having problems with the jury because the potential jury, because they keep talking.
This allegedly happened in 2004.
2004.
I don't know what's going to happen with Cosby, man. I really don't. I really don't.
81 years old.
I don't know what's going to happen. But it's hard to get a mistrial the first trial and a conviction the second time. That's very difficult to do.
Well, yeah, and these jurors have very strong opinions. I mean, the ones who are for him, and the ones who are against him. So, and they're talking about it. So it could be a long process.
You just got to eat you some Jell-O pudding and get through this, man.
Really?
Cannot.
Do you care?
I cannot.
With you. This man is on trial. You talking about eating some Jell-O pudding.
And it's set to begin April 9th.
That's why he ain't the leader of this show.
Man.
Clearly.
Wow. God. Yeah. Well, he says it was consensual, so the burden of proof is on Miss Andrea Constant and her team.
And her team.
Yeah.
Prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding.
You just couldn't. Steve, that's your nephew.
Okay, look, we got to pull it together here because coming up next, it's Steve with his closing remarks right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, Steve, last break of the day. It's been a great day. What a day. Yeah, it's been a crazy day today. So, Steve, now it's time for you to take us home with your closing remarks.
My closing remarks today are going to be based around the value of yourself. I think this is important. Tommy sent this to me. He sent me a billboard. And it really triggered me to think, and I'm going to share that with you. But it all pertains to the value of yourself. This can pertain to you in terms of reaching your goals, your dreams, or in business. And this is for you to consider in the relationship of love. It is amazing to me how I talk to people and people talk about how they're being treated and handled and represented and dealt with and how they can't seem to get nobody to see their value and their worth. And I'm sitting a bit going, wait a minute. You can't try to get someone to see something in you that you don't see in yourself. It starts with you. You know, you've all heard the saying, beauty is on the inside. It's not just skin deep. That's true. Confidence is not an outward emotion. It's something that starts from within. Everything starts from within, and it exudes and manifests itself in the outward shape or form. So if you want people to value you, you must first value yourself. I tell my daughters all the time, you can train a man how to treat you. Well, Daddy, how do you train a man? You just don't accept bad treatment from him. If you don't accept bad treatment from him, little girl of mine, then guess what? He can't keep giving it to you. A person can only treat you the way you allow them to do it. If you don't accept a man coming to pick you up late all the time, and he comes to pick you up late twice, but you stop going with him every time he's late, the next time he want to go out with you, he got to be on time. Now, if he don't want to be on time, then guess what? You don't go out. You've trained him how to treat you. And if he don't line up with what you want, then guess what? He's not for you. At least you don't have to be mistreated the way he want to treat you by simply not allowing him to treat you any way he wants to. You cannot have high value for yourself and expect someone else to have a high value of you. That goes into same thing with business. You can't go in and ask for a raise if you don't think you deserve one. What would cause you to walk in there and ask for a raise if you don't think you deserve one? If you don't have the facts to back up a raise. You can't want more money just because you done spent all the money you had. You got to go in there and ask for a raise because you can show value to the company. You're worth this much more to the company. The company has become this because of you. Then you can show your value. Then you can go in there with a raise, and you can go in there with some confidence with the raise. It happens with goals and dreams. If you aim too low, your problem is you might hit it. But I'm going to save that for tomorrow. So it's what you think of yourself, how you value yourself, that matters most. Now, let me tell you what was sent to me. And listen to this real careful, because this is going to register with a lot of people. Here we go. Listen to me. If you aren't being treated with love and respect, check your price tag. Maybe you've marked yourself down. It's you who tells people what you're worth. Get off the clearance rack and get behind the glass where they keep the value. It's you who tells people what you're worth. Get off the clearance rack and get behind the glass where they keep the valuables. Stop acting like you're a sidewalk sale. Stop acting like you can be picked up at the swap meet. Stop acting like you belong in the junkyard. You a new car. Don't act like an old car. I don't care how old you are. To somebody, you got to be a new car. Stop putting yourself on the sales rack when clearly you deserve full price. If you lower the value for yourself, that's what we'll pay for you. And that's how we'll treat you. And that's how we respect. If you don't respect yourself, if I see you constantly disrespecting yourself, then you're going to turn to me and demand respect. How does that work? Get back there. Be a coat where they got the lock on it. See, you can't take me off the rack and just try me on. That ain't how this works. See, but now you go over there to that valuable section in the store. You everybody been to Macy's. Mm-hmm. You got that stuff where you got to go get a salesperson to come and unlock it for you to even try it on. That's because they done put a value on that. Or you can go on over there and just put the little shirt on. T-shirts ain't locked up. Anybody can get one. If you steal this T-shirt, it ain't that big a loss. They ain't but $4, pack of three. But you come over here by this suede. Come over here by this fur and stuff. We got locks on this stuff right here because it has value. We know it has value, so we can't just let you try it on. Stop letting people just try you on. You got it? Put a value to yourself. Maintain it. You determine your value. Don't let other people do it. You do it. All right, those are my closing remarks.
Drop the mic. Drop the mic, baby.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate the pimp. Needed that. But that, I just need thought starters.
Yeah,
hey, man, can I tell y'all something?
What's that?
Announcement. Have a great weekend.
Man, it went.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.